Good afternoon, 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Anybody can deny anybody a marriage license anytime they want to based on their own personal religious beliefs. And that policy, quite frankly, if applied statewide, would be chaos.
ACLU attorney Dan Cannon says Rowan clerk Kim Davis's refusal to issue marriage licenses to gay couples is a clear violation of the law. He spoke following a hearing in Covington today.
Cleanup efforts continue in Rowan and Johnson counties following last week's flooding.
And a state lawmaker wants Kentucky National Guardsmen to be armed while they're on duty.
In sports, Zach Johnson wins the British Open.
But Luke has the stocks.
We'll see showers and thunderstorms tonight with lows around 72. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
U.S. District Judge David Bunning says he'll decide the same-sex marriage case involving Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis in mid-August. That's what Bunning told attorneys for both sides following a hearing in Covington today. Davis has refused to issue marriage licenses after a Supreme Court decision legalized same-sex marriage nationwide. Davis contends it violates her religious beliefs to issue those licenses. The American Civil Liberties Union brought suit against the clerk, saying she's obligated to carry out the law. There were protesters on opposite sides of the issue outside the federal courthouse this afternoon. One of them was retired Morehead State University professor Michael Beal. He spoke in a video posted on YouTube.
I'm here to protest the establishment of religion in the county clerk's office. She has taken it upon herself to establish her own brand of what she professes to be Christianity.
Rowan clerk Kim Davis testified this afternoon that she prayed and fasted for months before deciding to stop issuing marriage licenses.
A veterans group is helping with the cleanup in Johnson County following last week's deadly flooding. Team Rubicon has a command center at Johnson Central High School. Public Affairs Officer D. Clancy says the team has worked a number of natural disasters, and the flooding in the Flat Gap community last Tuesday brings back a few memories.
It reminded me of a couple of hurricanes that I've worked on. It was pretty overwhelming. So it's a lot of devastation out there. I've personally seen a lot more destruction than damage, but that might just be because of the area that we're working in. So there are quite a lot of, I don't even know that you could call them totally destroyed homes. They're just gone.
Clancy says Team Rubicon is working with the Paintsville Incident Management Group and state officials to clear debris and downed trees from the storm-ravaged region.
The Highland Church of Christ in Paintsville is among those pitching in to help with the cleanup in Johnson County. Rick Vitito is with the church and says people from all over the country are stepping up to assist.
We've had organizations contacting us from Texas, Indiana. I've got two trucks that come from Indiana. Pike County, the people that was in the flood up there, they've responded real well with bringing stuff. They have gotten water and all the necessities out to most of the people. You know, this is going to be ongoing for several weeks, maybe months, so we're still going to need the cleaning supplies and the things like that.
Officials say the main road in one of Johnson's hardest-hit areas is Kentucky 172. It had to be closed right after last week's storm, but it is now open again.
The coordinator of the Southern Baptist Convention's disaster relief organization says some of the homes damaged by flooding last week in Rowan County cannot be saved. Bruce Bay says more than 100 structures, mostly in the Hayes Branch community, were inundated with high water during the storm.
A lot of the homes, what they were counting as homes, were mobile homes. And about the only thing we can do with a mobile home is help them remove their personal effects. There's not really any repair work or anything you can do to a mobile home. Once the floor gets wet in a mobile home, the walls get wet, they're pretty well shot.
However, Bay says all houses that sustained flood damage will be saved. He's expecting the church-affiliated relief crews to continue working in Rowan County for another 2 weeks. Volunteers are helping owners clean out their homes and move items that have been destroyed to the curbside.
Contributions to Operation Donation, Rowan County Cares, have been a little slow coming in since the effort to help local flood victims began last Friday. That's the word from the director of the Moorhead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce, Tracy Williams. She says the needs are great because the flood damaged more than just homes.
If their homes weren't damaged, then maybe their outsides were damaged, and there's a lot of cleanup and there's a lot of efforts going on. So if someone would like to donate items or to volunteer, we'll certainly take the help to help our citizens in need. We need to take care of one another.
Williams says donations of non-perishable food items and cleaning supplies are being accepted through Wednesday at the former Rowan County Middle School. That's at Kentucky 32 and Sun Street. The hours are 9 to noon.
Heavy rains have resulted in the washout and closure of a section of Dry Creek Road in Clearfield. The damage occurred around an 8-foot culvert between the 8 and 9 mile markers. Local traffic may continue to use Dry Creek up to the road's closure, but all through traffic must detour using Kentucky 32 and reconnect using Kentucky 3317, 173, or an alternate route. Anyone with questions can contact the Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 office.
The director of the Kentucky Resources Council told a panel of Kentucky lawmakers last week that repurposing the Tennessee gas pipeline through Rowan and 17 other counties in the Commonwealth is risky. Tom Fitzgerald testified Friday before the Subcommittee on Energy concerning a proposal to use the 70-year-old line to move natural gas liquids. It now carries natural gas. Fitzgerald spoke with CN2's Pure Politics.
This particular pipeline has been in the ground since the 1940s. It wasn't manufactured or designed or welded to current standards. The standards of the day were much less demanding than they are now. And you're proposing to repurpose the project and to introduce under pressure a different set of hydrocarbons, a much heavier fraction of hydrocarbons than has been used.
Fitzgerald says that compounds the possibility of an accident. Two pipeline companies, Kinder Morgan Energy Partners and Mark West, want to use the nearly 1,000-mile line to move NGLs from Ohio to the Gulf Coast.
The man appointed by the Kentucky Board of Education to run the Menifee County school system starts work tomorrow. Tim Spencer was named to the post recently after the board determined that 6 months of state assistance had done little to fix the problems inside the district. Spencer says he's excited about helping Menifee's schools get back on track, adding that he's already had a pretty good idea of what initial challenges he'll face.
Two things come to mind, and actually that would be the financial situation within the school district, and then the actual instructional strategies and practices that are going on within the school district. So those are two things we're really going to focus on, and then we're also going to focus on the culture within the school district. We want to establish a culture within the school district of high expectations.
Spencer comes to Menifee County after working as the assistant superintendent for Breathitt County Schools, the only other district in Kentucky currently being managed by the state. His contract runs through June 30th of 2016.
The revival of the Moorhead-Rowan County Recreation Commission has the city's director of recreation enthused. David Morris believes the decision by local officials to bring the long-dormant committee back online signals that both entities are serious about getting a new recreation and water park built.
I would think that the third thing on the agenda would have an indoor facility of our own in the future, because that's drastically needed, some sort of indoor facility, multi-purpose use indoor facility that would accommodate all aspects of the youth sporting activities as well as the adults.
Morris says the key now is for the city and county to find the money for the projects. The Moorhead Tourism Commission is looking at possibly selling bonds or getting a loan to raise $1.5 million to help construct athletic fields next year at the planned rec park site on U.S. 60 East.
A state representative wants Governor Beshear to take executive action to protect Kentucky National Guardsmen while they're on duty. Republican Kevin Bratcher is from Louisville.
I am asking the governor to issue an executive order so that all active members of the National Guard are able to defend themselves or arm themselves. These veterans do not need to have this problem, you know, of being attacked in their own recruiting stations in their area.
Bratcher's call comes in the wake of last week's fatal shootings of four Marines and a sailor in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth says the numbers prove the Federal Affordable Care Act is a winner for Kentucky. The Louisville Democrat says Republicans often argue that the sweeping health care law is unaffordable, but independent analysis of the legislation indicates otherwise. Yarmuth says the research firm hired by Governor Beshear to evaluate the ACA's impact on Kentucky show it creating $30 billion in economic activity and 40,000 jobs. He says the law has also provided health care to 500,000 Kentuckians who previously lacked insurance.
So I think those statistics and demonstrate that the ACA can be very, very positive, not just in ensuring people, giving them access to quality care, but also in from an economic perspective.
Yarmuth says the number of uninsured Kentuckians in his district dropped by more than 80% since the law went into effect.
Kentucky's junior senator says he can't support the nuclear agreement reached last week between the U.S., its allies, and Iran. Republican Rand Paul spoke with Fox News.
You know, I've been very skeptical of the Iranians' intentions, and I think anything that leaves them with a sufficient nuclear capacity to enrich is a problem, and I think this agreement does that.
The historic accord eases international economic sanctions against Iran in exchange for restrictions on its nuclear program.
An African-American congresswoman from the District of Columbia says U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell's views on the display of Jefferson Davis's statue in government buildings are inconsistent. Eleanor Holmes Norton says the Kentucky Republican appears to want the Confederate president banished from Kentucky's capital, but will go no further.
I'll give Mitch McConnell credit. He wants to remove the statue of Jefferson Davis from the Kentucky state capitol, but when asked about removing the Jefferson State statue out of the United States capitol, Mr. McConnell grew silent.
Holmes Norton says statues and flags are symbols of bigger things, and that's why they're important. She wants Davis's likeness removed from the U.S. capitol as well.
The Ashland woman, who just won the National Big Sister of the Year Award from the U.S. Big Brothers and Big Sisters organization, says there's a great need for adult men to join the local program. Carrie Stambaugh says Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Tri-State has quite a shortage of men.
Just demographically, you know, we have a lot more single mothers than we have single fathers raising kids. So there's a real need for strong, positive male role models. So really, we'll take all of the women we can get, but men, we really need you to be a big brother.
Stambaugh says it only takes a few hours a week and can make a huge difference in a youngster's life. Turning now to the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, there's a flash flood watch in effect through tomorrow morning. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a 60% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms with lows around 72 degrees. For tomorrow, partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms, the chance of rain will be 50% with highs around 85. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a slightly decreased chance of rain, 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s. On Wednesday, it'll be sunny, we'll see highs around 82 degrees. And again, reminding you, there's a flash flood watch in effect for the listening region through tomorrow morning. It's currently 87 degrees in Ashland. It's sitting at 84 right now in Flemingsburg, as well as in Inez and Lexington. It's 85 in Winchester, and 85 degrees as well here in Moorhead.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a new study from the U.S. Geological Survey finds the amount of water used for hydraulic fracturing is increasing across the country. It has conservationists in Kentucky urging the state to update its oil and gas regulations in case the deep well boom comes to the bluegrass. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has more.
The amount of water used in hydraulic fracturing is increasing across the nation, with the Marcellus and Utica shale formations in neighboring Ohio and West Virginia among the most active. New findings from the U.S. Geological Survey show the average horizontal gas well consumed more than 5 million gallons of water in 2014, up from around 177,000 gallons in 2000. While the deep well boom hasn't reached Kentucky yet, conservationists are urging the state to continue updating its regulations to address concerns over high-volume hydraulic fracking. Tom Fitzgerald is director of the Kentucky Resources Council.
Trying to get out in front of this so that the operator identifies the methods that they'll use to protect surface and groundwaters from contamination, we need to be prepared.
The first step came earlier this year when the Kentucky legislature added before and after water sampling at hydraulic fracking sites to the state's oil and gas regulations. Fitzgerald says Kentucky is currently on the low end of the water use spectrum because all the fracking so far has been on shallower formations.
And because of that, you're dealing with a matter of thousands of gallons rather than hundreds of thousands of gallons. So the wastewater management issues are much smaller.
That could be changing, however. Companies are scrambling to see if Kentucky has the volumes of oil and gas needed to make deep well drilling worthwhile. The state has issued two production permits on the Rogersville Shale in eastern Kentucky. In neighboring Ohio, Ted Alk with the Fast Tracker Alliance isn't surprised by the federal report on the rapid rise of water use. His group's research indicates fracking has used up to 7% of the available water from the Muskegon watershed, and Alk says it's likely to exceed 10% in the next 2 years.
In good years, when it's raining cats and dogs like it is right now, and there is excess water. But that excess water buffers that watershed against drought in subsequent years. If you keep pulling water out and putting it down in the geology underneath, you are really compromising the integrity of that watershed.
However, some in the oil and gas industry say fracking uses significant less water than many other processes, and that companies are increasingly recycling and reusing water. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
447, this is Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, it's NPR's All Things Considered, and Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad, operated by the Kentucky Innovation Network at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad is a local and state-supported business incubator for new or startup businesses with consulting services, office spaces, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad can help grow companies, encourage business partnerships, and create jobs. More information at 606-783-9536.
There was a major winner tonight, and his name is not Jordan Spieth. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Jared Wesley. The Open Championship at St. Andrews ended in dramatic fashion earlier today. Regulation golf would not be enough as three players went on to compete in a four-hole playoff for the British Crown. It was Zach Johnson who pulled off the victory over Louis Oosthuizen and Mark Leishman. Johnson was at a genuine loss for words following the victory.
I can't. I'm at a loss of words. You don't like to see a tournament end on a miss. You know, I hate that. And Louis, a champion. And a friend, but I'm grateful, I'm humbled, I'm thankful, I'm honored.
Johnson has now won both the Masters and British Open during his career. Jordan Spieth is no longer in the running for this year's Grand Slam after he missed his birdie putt on 18 that would have given him a spot in the playoff. Spieth, who of course won the Masters and the U.S. Open, was disappointed that he couldn't make it three majors in a row today, but was otherwise happy with the way he played.
I didn't think three guys would get to 15 under in these conditions, and so that was my goal at the beginning of the day. It was 4 under for the round, and we got there, on 16. And ideally, you can finish par birdie is a perfect way to finish out here, and that would have gotten the job done. So it stings a little bit.
Spieth now looks forward to the PGA Championship beginning on August the 13th. With baseball's trade deadline closing in, the Cincinnati Reds will begin a series at Great American Ballpark tonight at 7:10 against the Chicago Cubs. The player most experts believe the 40-49 Reds will deal for prospects is pitching ace Johnny Cueto. After Sunday's loss to the Reds, the 29-year-old right-hander said through an interpreter that he also thinks his days in Cincinnati uniform are numbered.
I'm expecting this. I'm actually looking forward, because I know that's going to happen. It doesn't bother. I mean, it's just the way it is. And like I always say, guys are the only one who knows what's going to happen, and we just have to wait.
Also rumored to be on their way out of the Queen City before July 31st are closer to Aroldis Chapman, starter Mike Leake, outfielders Marlon Byrd and Jay Bruce, along with catcher Brian Peña. The Lexington Legends are on the road tonight in West Virginia to take on the Power at 7:05. Foster Griffin will get the start on the hill tonight for Lexington. The 6'3 southpaw from Orlando is 0-3 on the season and is looking to improve on his 6.44 ERA. At 10-11 on the season's second half, the Legends are sitting in fifth place in the South Atlantic League standings, 4 games behind first place Asheville. The Denver Nuggets have agreed to send point guard Ty Lawson to the Houston Rockets. The Nuggets will get a lottery protected first-round pick, I should say, in 2016, along with 4 other players. Lawson would give the Rockets needed depth at point guard with Patrick Beverley, though he is currently dealing with off-the-court issues. He entered a 30-day residential treatment program for alcohol last week after his second DUI arrest. Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd says he feels good about the Eagles' 4 offseason signings, and he says they may add another player or two before the summer ends.
We have a 6-year player, or I'm sorry, 5th year, but it's actually her 6-year, a tremendous student that is considering us very strongly if it works out in their master's degree program. And then we also have another girl from Europe, about a 6'3 post player.
Among the MSU women's signees is 5'11 Ashland Blazer Haley Sue Fouch. The Eagles are also adding 5'3 guard Brianna McQueen and a transfer from East Tennessee State University. The Ashland Independent has named out its Tony Kernute Memorial Male and Female Sportsman of the Year Awards. MSPR's Chuck Mraz reports.
Raceland High School football, basketball, and track standout Connor Messer won the boys' honor. A two-way starter for the football team, Messer also helped lead the Rams basketball team to its first 16th region tourney win since 1966. And in track, he won state titles in the pole vault, high jump, 110-meter hurdles, and long jump. Ashland Blazer fast pitch softball star Megan Hensley is the Kernute female honoree. Kentucky's Miss Softball for 2015. Hensley is headed for a career at the University of Louisville, after winning 25 games and batting .429 for the Kittens this past spring. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz reporting.
While Rowan County football coach Ray Graham is trying to get some questions about his team answered before the start of the season, he remains confident about one key position. Graham feels good about the Vikings quarterbacks.
Gavin Helvey is our senior returning starter, doing a really good job as a leader. Right now, we've got Kelly Norris, a sophomore, and Cade Mullins, a freshman. So we got 3 quarterbacks all working hard, and we've got a good quarterback coach, and I'm real excited about that.
Graham says all of those players are good athletes and will also help his team on defense. Helvey will be going into his 3rd year as Rowan's starting QB. Rowan hosts Clay County August 22nd in its season opener. An unusually rainy July hasn't helped Kentucky's high school sports teams as they try to prepare for their fall schedules, which start in about a month. Rowan boys soccer coach Max Hammonds, though, doesn't think the wet weather has hurt his team too much.
We've had to get inside some and play indoor, which is, it's fine. It works when you touch good. And it's not too big of a hindrance, really, as long as you can get to play somewhere.
The Vikes kick off their 2015 season on August 17th at Schuster Field against Greenup County. That will do it for sports tonight. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. The MSU men's and women's golf programs will host a golf scramble fundraiser at 11:30 a.m. on Monday, August 3rd at the Greenbrier Golf and Country Club in Lexington. More information at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mildly higher, with the NASDAQ at another record as investors digested earnings reports, and the NASDAQ did end up 8.7 for its third record close in a row, and the major averages turned higher in late morning trade, with the NASDAQ topping its intraday high briefly that was set on Friday, and the S&P 500 briefly rose above its all-time closing high, but failed to hold it. And at the 4 o'clock close, the Dow Industrial showed a gain of 13.96 at 18,100.41. The S&P 500 managed a small gain of 1.64 at 2128.28. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 8.72 at 5218.86. And as mentioned, that is another record close for the NASDAQ. New York Stock Exchange breadth was actually 20-9 in favor of losing stocks over winners, so the broader market was actually weaker. Information technology led index gains while energy fell more than 1% as the worst performing sector in the S&P 500, with crude oil dipping below $50 a barrel for the first time since April 6th. And of course, in the technology sector, Google stole the show on Friday, and today Apple showed very good strength among your NASDAQ bellwethers. You had earnings reports coming out from a variety of companies today. And also in the blue chip sector, IBM reported earnings that were a mixed bag, although the stock actually took it on the chin when this was announced. Also this morning, Morgan Stanley in the financial sector said it earned an adjusted 79 cents a share, 5 cents above estimates, with revenue also above forecasts, and the stock was very strong today as a result. Google itself backed off from its record close of close to $700 a share, and the stock was actually down about 1% in profit-taking today. And as mentioned, Apple reports quarterly results after the close tomorrow, with the shares of Apple jumping more than 2% in afternoon trade, back up above $132 a share. PayPal is up 5.4% after briefly jumping over as much as 6.5% in its first day of trade as its own publicly traded company under the symbol PYPL. And, of course, PayPal was spun off from eBay. Hasbro reported quarterly profits of 33 cents a share, which were 4 cents above estimates. Revenue was also well above consensus estimates, despite the stronger dollar. And Halliburton in the oil sector actually beat forecast by 15 cents, with adjusted quarterly profit of 44 cents a share, and revenue also exceeded forecasts. Like its peers, Halliburton saw a significant drop in drilling activity compared to a year earlier, but was helped by strength in its international profit margins. Gold was in focus, falling to five-year lows below $1,100 an ounce amid speculative selling in China. Turning out to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 39 cents at 117.38, CSX down 19 cents at 31.99. AK Steel down 23 cents at 267. Marathon Petroleum down $1.05 at 57.53. AEP down 16 cents at 55.56. And Kroger was up 43 cents to finish at 39.15. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once again to a look at the weather forecast for the listening area, there's a flash flood watch in effect through tomorrow morning. For tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a 60% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, and lows around 72 degrees. For tomorrow, partly sunny with scattered showers and thunderstorms, the chance of rain will be down to 50% with highs around 85. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain, lows in the mid-60s. On Wednesday, it'll be sunny with highs around 82. And it's currently 87 degrees here in Morehead.
And that is it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Jordan Simonson, and Braxton Howard. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre did our feature story. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.